Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Please come and join us because we're doing it a bit different this morning. If you have your kids, bring them to the table with you. We're seeking to engage the kids this morning, very much so. If you have family members who are like big kids, then you bring them close as well. So I just want to tell you what's going on this morning so you know. Lovely to see everyone here this morning. If you don't normally come, then I hope that you feel very much at home today and not wish you were at home. And for those who are here regularly, it's just going to be a wee bit different this morning. We're going to have the kids in for the whole time. The break is not going to be halfway through because it's going to be quite a bit shorter. So the break is going to be at the end, but we'll have time for coffee, because we'll finish earlier, we'll have plenty of time for coffee and to chat at the end. So we're going to sing some carols, we're going to hear some bits of the Christmas story and think about what that means for us. We've got some a family helping to lead us in prayer and share some of the ways that they pray. So, good morning. Many welcomes to you from someone who has never had an Australian Christmas and is slightly freaked out by the fact you do your carols in different orders and have different tunes, but I'll try not to be too embarrassing. So let's worship God, let's enjoy each other's company, and let's see what we can learn. Hand over to Sharon now.
Okay, let's stand and sing our first carol. Joy to the world. Reading from Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end." "How can this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
Just wanted to know, has anyone here ever met an angel? Have you anyone met an angel? I know people who look like angels. Billy's met an angel. Is that you married an angel? Has anyone got a glass of water? I'm feeling slightly nauseous. Just moving on. What do angels say most often? Do not be afraid. Why do angels say "do not be afraid" so often? Because they're a bit scared. I mean, if you had a big shiny thing suddenly appear in your front room, you might be a bit scared. Three times in the Christmas story, there are where angels say "don't be afraid." And I want to think about those times this morning. To Mary, the angel just said, we read, "do not be afraid, you found favor with God." Talks about her having a baby, even though it's humanly impossible. Talks about her relative, who is an older lady, going to have a child in her old age, because nothing is impossible with God. Some friends of ours saw the latest Bond movie recently. I don't want to spoil your fun if you've not seen it, but I just want to say, what a guy. He can do anything. He seems to be an expert at every skill. He can just casually speak pretty much any language. He's also indestructible, and he can achieve the impossible. And I don't know if you know, but companies all over the world are queuing up to have their products associated with James Bond. James Bond wears this watch. Well, not this watch, because this is cheap. He uses this shaver. He drives this car. And then people will go, I want that watch. I want that shaver. I want that car. He's a cool guy. I want to be like him. And again, I don't want to spoil your fun, but the only trouble is he doesn't actually exist. He's not real. Did you know that, James Bond? Just take a moment to deal with it. The illusion is maintained by a good-looking actor, a team of stuntmen, fantastic special effects, a huge budget, and great editing. So if you had an actor like Daniel Craig looking after you, solving your problems, you wouldn't really be much safer than you are now, even though some ladies might enjoy the experience. But we won't go into that. And if you need to talk about it at home, then please do so and call us if that creates problems in your marriage, but not until after Christmas. The truth is that human beings can't do what's humanly impossible. And when we fear and when we worry, we're left in situations that are out of our depth. It's good to remember that part of the message of Christmas that the angel brought is this: don't be afraid. When you see how it just can't possibly be done, God can do what's humanly impossible. And the same God that brought baby Jesus into the world when it was humanly impossible has been doing the humanly impossible ever since. And the Bible and the history of the church is full of examples of the miraculous, of the supernatural, of amazing wonders of an amazing God. And perhaps you've got concerns this morning, things that are outside of your means to deal with, problems that no one else can solve. When it's humanly impossible, here's the thing. It's no use keep turning to human beings for solutions. Not even great ones. Not even James Bond. Part of the wonder of Christmas, the birth of Jesus, is the call to reach out to God in faith, because he can do what's humanly impossible, precisely because he is God. Part of the message of Christmas is stop treating humans like God because they can't do miracles, and stop treating God like a human because he can and he does do miracles. Don't be afraid, says the angel. Nothing is impossible with God. Believing that can take us from fear to peace this Christmas. Now, over the next few weeks, we're going to try lots of different things on Sundays, and we'll find out what works and what doesn't from the expressions on your faces and the angry letters and emails. But we're just going to try stuff. And one of the things that I very much want to try is just looking at the way some families pray together and them sharing the way that they pray, because it may be as a family you never pray together, or maybe when you were kids your mum and dad never prayed with you and you kind of don't know how to do it. So here's a few examples that we'll have over the next few weeks. And this morning I've asked Peter and Annie and their lovely boys to do this. They really don't want to do it because of the people. But they really do want to do it because they love to pray together as a family and to share something of that. So if they could, if they haven't left the building, if they could join me now and help to lead us in prayer. And we should be looking for a handheld. Pete, Wayne's just got the handheld there, mate. Lovely.
We thought we'd just explain to you a little bit of how we as a family operate in the area of prayer anyway. We have, I suppose, structured times of prayer of an evening when we go to bed. We sit in with the boys and we talk through all the basic events of the day. The other time is before we eat. We always thank Jesus for what he's provided for us. And often when we go out on big journeys or journeys outside of the norm, we always set aside time to pray. The other thing is when we pray, we usually start off with thank you, Jesus, for everything he's provided. Even if it's a bad day, there's always things that to be thankful for. We try to model to the boys the basics of, I suppose, what Jesus modeled to his disciples through the Lord's Prayer, that first of all, we thank him for everything. Then we bring to him all the needs at the moment, the firefighters and the issues the boys are aware of. Our families, our friends, and it's limited in its structure in that if the boys decide that they want to pray about something, they will interrupt, and we see no issue with that. That prayer is about communication, so they can interrupt at any stage, and if they want to join in, they know that they can speak at the same time we can, because God has big ears that can hear more than one person at one time, so they know that they can talk over mum and dad if we're leading them through the prayer. And then when we finish off, again we always thank him for what he's given to us, and during the day as well, anything that the boys are afraid of or something that they just think of at the time, they know that we're never too busy to stop and, for one, hear them out, acknowledge what they are feeling, and to pray and ask Jesus to come in to bring comfort where this, I suppose, fear or stress, but also to anyone that they've got on their heart. That has happened a couple of times, that we just stop and we pray for whoever it is that they've got on their heart, that they're not too small for Jesus to speak directly to them, so always willing to acknowledge them in that.
I was just going to add that during the day, if there's anything they kind of think of, or, you know, like we talk about somebody going for a job interview or somebody's in hospital or whatever, then often when we talk about it after that, we just stop and have a quick prayer, and just trying to emphasise that it's a lifestyle thing that you can do at any time of the day. It doesn't have to be a set... We have a set time to do it, but it's also a conversation that we have during the day, so...
Okay. So we'll lead a little prayer. Okay. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this time of year. We thank you for all the good things that you give to us. We thank you for your example, that you have given to us something completely awesome and special in your Son. We thank you for his obedience in terms of his sacrifice that he gave in coming to the earth and then ultimately to give us intimacy with you. Lord Jesus, we pray that at this time you meet with families as they meet together to celebrate this time, that it not just be a time when this spirit of Christmas come, but that they would recognise you, your presence and your wondrous gift of your Son. Thank you, Jesus, for this time together as a church family that we can celebrate this wonderful time. Thank you, Jesus.
Many thanks for that. I just want to, before we sing again, wanted to us to all pray, especially for Kerin Small this morning, because she's way across the other side of the world, pretty much on her own, thinking about the future that God has for her. That's a lonely place to be. So I want to pray for her peace and her blessing. And just wanted to thank as well the Daddy family, because that was just great. It was just great. Let's pray. Lord, we've just been reminded by this lovely family that we can come to you at any time about anything. You are our Heavenly Father and you love us. And we want to pray about someone that we love and care for, Kerin. As she's across in the Philippines, as she thinks about the future and direction that she should be going in, as she misses her family, as she misses her friends, that even though there are people there that care for her, they don't know her so well, and she feels lonely and isolated. Yet she's there because she wants to serve you and follow you. And we want to ask today that you'll bless her. You'll pour out your blessing on her. You'll fill her heart with peace. You'll fill her heart with joy. We want to ask, Lord, that you'll put across her path people who will do her good and be for her good. And pray, too, that you'll give her real clarity as she thinks and prays about the way forward, and that you'll show her and help her and guide her. Thank you for her example, and ask again that you bless her richly today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, the next carol we're going to sing is Away in a Manger. And how about the children come up, because I'm sure all of you know this one. So how about you come up and sing it together with us? Where are they all? I'm sure they're all around.
Look down where he lay.
like we're going to do Silent Night. I'm sure you know this one too.
Our next reading is from Luke 1, verse 5 to 15, and it's the birth of John the Baptist foretold. In the time of Herod the king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord."
So there's our second do not be afraid. Here we have a story. You've got Zechariah and Elizabeth. They prayed for a baby for many, many years. The Bible says they were well advanced in years. Now, we let this stuff slip by us. because we're so used to it. But I want us to think about what well advanced means. I mean, we're talking old here. So maybe you could help me. I want just the kids to see if you can find the oldest person here, someone who you think would really be well advanced in years. Just find them, grab hold of them, and then put your hand up and point to them. Could you do that for me? And we'll see who's the oldest. See if you can find a real old person. Go on. Yeah, just attach yourself to them. Just walk on over. This is the way to really upset very, very many people. Okay, we've got Stan at the moment. Any more offers? Okay, can grown-ups go and find an old person then if the kids aren't going to? Who have you found? Oh, we've got Elaine here. She's been pointed out. How do you feel about that, Elaine? She feels okay about it. Who else have we got? Yeah. Let's get Elaine and Don and Sue to stand up. These are pretty old people, aren't they? We love them to bits, but they're getting on a bit, aren't they? Please sit down. Pardon? Who? Phil Daddy. I think probably that's a bit harsh. No, he's okay. His hair's, I don't know whether he dyes it or not, but it's not grey. So, but that's the kind of age we're talking about. So an angel is appearing to say Don and Sue and saying, by the way, you're going to have another kid. Apart from in this case, they'd never had a child. They thought that God hadn't heard their prayer. They thought that they were alone in their grief and in their pain. But the truth was that God wanted to answer their prayers in much bigger ways than even they could imagine. They talked about this son being a joy and a delight, and many people rejoicing at his birth because he was great in the sight of the Lord. They talked about the way he would actually bring many people of Israel back to their God. And he was going to have the same kind of power as Elijah, one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. Now, when they'd been praying, they'd have been happy for any old son and daughter, just your average kid. God intended them to have a son who was great, who would cause people to rejoice, who would turn many back to God, who would prepare the way for Jesus. One of the most amazing roles in the whole of the Bible. So he had heard them. He had been with them through all their doubts, through all their questions, maybe through all their anger. Now, what he didn't do was meet their timetable. What he didn't do was answer their prayers exactly as they'd asked them. He actually brought more than they could ever have imagined. The answer was greater than the request. And their faithful searching through all the struggles ended up being richly rewarded. And that's the second message of Christmas through the angels. Don't be afraid when you think you're all alone. God does hear and answer prayer. Maybe you feel alone and isolated because of unanswered prayer. Perhaps you feel let down or turned down by God because he hasn't met your timetable. The message of the angel is a reminder that God never leaves us, that he listens to our prayers, that he actually has bigger plans than we do. He wants to achieve greater things in us and through us, despite of our struggles, sometimes even because of them. He might not answer in the way or at the time that we would like, but his eternal perspective and his heart of love means that he can and he will bring greater answers than our requests. If we meet our struggles with trust, with patience, with perseverance, which basically means stickability, hanging in there. And that's part of the message of Christmas for us. Don't be afraid, says the angel. Your prayers have been heard. You're not alone. So let doubt be replaced by trust in a way that brings peace this Christmas.
Stay seated. Our next carol is O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Little town of Bethlehem, how Okay. Third reading's from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through to 14. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men."
Thanks, Phil. Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace to men. Goes on to say, on whom his favour rests. You know that James Bond who we were talking about before? There's always a little bit in a James Bond film. There's some kind of conversation at headquarters, usually said in clipped British tone, so I can do it very nicely. It's, yes, we all know Commander Bond's style. He'll try to save the world single-handedly, whatever the cost or consequences to others. You know, that sort of thing. Sorry, I'm a bit stuck in that frame of voice at the moment. I'll try and bring it back. Ultimately, the character of Bond doesn't really mind who he hurts. He might have one best mate and one girl he's in love with. I have all of the ones he's maybe slightly in love with, you know. He's essentially proud. He's essentially selfish. He's quite happy to use anybody and everybody in his quest for success. Whereas, nothing could be further from the truth as far as Jesus is concerned. Because Jesus will save the world, whatever the cost, whatever the consequences, for himself. He'll come down from heaven and place his life in the hands of humans. He'll make himself the very essence of vulnerability, a baby. He'll live for us. He'll die for us. He'll do whatever it takes to save us. He'll deal with the sin that separates us from God. He'll give us forgiveness. He'll give us a clean slate. He'll give us a new start. One of the things that's really interesting coming out here is that people are fascinated by us because we're English and because they can mock us about the test. They're fascinated by the story of us coming over here to this little corner of the world from England. And then people start to talk about God. And when they talk about God, they all mean different things. They say, "I don't believe in God." And then we try to find out what sort of God it is that they don't believe in. And then I discover I don't believe in that sort of God either. Everyone's got a picture of the God that they believe in. And many people, what really freaks them out about Christianity is that they're scared of losing everything. If I become a Christian, I have to give everything up. I have to become dull and boring. I have to become miserable. I said, well, that bit's optional. Many people choose that road, but really you don't have to go on it. And that's not the road that Jesus has for us. People are afraid to give their lives to God. They're afraid of losing control, afraid of what God will expect. And they see it as a losing thing, not a gaining thing. But the third angel message of Christmas is this: don't be afraid of God being in your life, of Jesus being in your life, because he wants to bless you. He wants to save you. God's favor rests on men and women and children, on the whole of humankind. You can trust God. He's not selfish. He's not self-serving. He was prepared even to lose his son to save us. I don't know, maybe of a mom or a dad here who would be prepared to lose their son or daughter to save someone? Do you? So before we start getting a bit iffy about what God's like, think about that for a moment. His son was willing to lose everything for us. And it wasn't a futile exercise, because unlike James Bond, Jesus can save the world. And Jesus did save the world. Maybe you're afraid of placing your life in God's hands. Maybe you've never heard anyone speak like this. Maybe you're focused on the cost that you end up losing the blessing. The message of Christmas is you've got nothing to lose. All the stuff you lose isn't worth anything anyway. And you've got everything to gain. Because the God who is prepared to lose everything to save you isn't going to abuse your trust in him. And there is no safer place to be than in God's hands and in God's will. And the sending of Jesus to this earth was the ultimate proof of his love for us, beyond cost, beyond consequences. Don't be afraid, says the angel. God wants to save you. God wants to bless you. And trusting him and placing your life in his hands takes you from fear and takes you from doubt to peace this Christmas. If that's something you need to take on board afresh, then do it so you get a good Christmas that's based on the right things. If you're here as a visitor and it's made you think, then if you want to talk, to pray afterwards, you're most welcome to. Just find me out or come along again, because we'll be doing more of this stuff every Sunday. We'll be doing God stuff every Sunday because we believe it's the most important thing in the world and in our lives. Not because it makes us miserable and boring, but because it makes us alive, really alive. So I hope you have a brilliant Christmas. I hope you can join with us on New Year's Eve as well. But I hope you take hold of the messages about not being afraid because of what God wants to do. Not being afraid because nothing's impossible for God. Not being afraid because God does hear and answer prayer and you're not alone. Not being afraid of what you'll lose because God wants to love you and bless you. We're going to sing in a moment and then do the kind of noticey bit, and then there's going to be coffee. Oh, all well within an hour, just like I promised. So plenty of time to hang around and talk and spend time together. Plenty of time for those who didn't sign up for the rosters to sign up. I've put them over there by the coffee this time because people were conflicted. Do I sign the roster? Do I have coffee? I cannot do both things. Oh, I've walked over there now. It's too far. So now they're just next to each other and you'll be able to sign up if you haven't already. Let's sing.
Let's stand.
I don't know if I'm, yes I am. We're going to pray. I want to pray for you. That's nice, isn't it? But before that, I'd just like you to say thank you, because the band were just funkadelic this morning, weren't they? I just love seeing Brian and Ian at the back like this. Oh, bless them. Let's pray. Lord, pray for these folk here, for each one, that you will be all that they need this Christmas. Lord, that where there is confusion, that you will bring clarity and wisdom. That where there is worry and anxiety, that you will bring your peace. That where there is weakness and vulnerability, you'll bring your power and your strength. Pray, Lord, that for each one of us, as we reach out to you, as we bring you glory to our God in the highest, then we will know peace on earth, and we will know your favor resting on us. In Jesus' name, amen. Please sit down. Just before coffee, Bill's just got a few bits and bobs to bring us.
I don't think there's anything else left to say, except on behalf of Jeff and Joe, the elders and the leadership here at Berwick Vineyard, we wish you all a very blessed Christmas and a prosperous and blessed new year. And you've now got a bucket load of time. We don't have anybody on welcome, because you're all on welcome this morning. Tea, coffee, relax, enjoy. And God bless you all.
Oh,